Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This podcast is supported in part by the Bertha Foundation.
G'day, Lewis.
Hello, Daniel. How are you?
Look, I'm well. I'm feeling pretty good because we've got a whole bunch of new Patreon supporters, including Maury Morgan from the Stand-Up School of Hard Knock Knocks. They do they teach people how to do stand-up, Lewis. That's what they do
there.
Oh,
how nice.
We've also got someone called C3168014. They've become a Patreon supporter.
Are we being funded by Russian bots?
I think we're actually being funded by Elon Musk's daughter. Alex Thornton has also signed up. Dylan Joel has signed up. Laura Wells has signed up. And a guy called Jerem Morris. Now, I'm pretty sure I know this bloke. When I was in LA, when I first moved to LA in 2016, I was quite lonely and I went to a bar just to kind of try out some really nice food, because that's what you do when you're on your own. And the barman was Jerem. He was an Aussie guy and he recognized me from the telly and he gave me a free whiskey. So thank you, Jerem, for joining up.
He keeps giving to you.
I know. Jerem is the barman that keeps serving. It's fantastic.
That's amazing.
Another way to support Irrational Fear is to offset the carbon emissions with your car with a Go Neutral sticker. For every $90 sticker, Go Neutral will buy 3.5 tons of carbon offsets, which is about the yearly average emissions for a car. And then $5 of that comes to us to do that. To go neutral and support Irrational Fear, use the link in the show notes. Lewis, I'm recording my end of Irrational Fear on Gadigal land. What land are you on?
Also on Gadigal land via Eora Nation.
Sovereignty was never ceded. We need a treaty. Let's start the show.
Irrational Fear contains naughty words like Brexit, Canberra, fair dicum, and Section 44. Irrational Fear recommends listening by immature audiences.
Tonight, after months of speculating the opposite, US Attorney General Bill Barr finds no evidence of voter fraud, but finally finds evidence of a backbone. And Prime Minister Scott Morrison hits back at Four Corners parliamentary sex scandal episode with a new initiative called Knob Keeper. And gatherings of 50 people are now allowed on dance floors in New South Wales. Critics say this will just lead to an increase in murder on the dance floor. It's the 4th of December 2020, and we're hoarding the vaccine. This is Irrational Fear.
Irrational Fear!
Hello, welcome to Rational Fear. I'm your host, former quarantine housekeeper, Dan Illich. Let's meet our fearmongers for tonight. She's one of the sharpest wits featured daily in Nine's newspapers. She's also the newly elected president of the Australian Cartoonists Association. Please stop the votes, because it's the Walkley Award-winning Kathy Wilcox. Hey!
Yay!
Or do we have to call you Madam President now?
only, Madam President. Mrs. President is all right too, boss lady.
What are some of the roles of the president of your new position?
I really don't know. I'm going to have
drawing
to find
the minutes
all out. I suddenly had to run the meeting, the annual general meeting on Sunday morning, which was a frightening thing to have to do. I initially sort of said, can't the old president still run it? And he kind of said yes, but then I kind of got a whiff of power in my nostrils, and I went, oh, what the hell, I'll take over.
Crush them, Kathy. Crush them, you would a little pencil.
I like to imagine that everyone on the board meeting of the Cartoonists Association, there's like 10 people, and then there's 10 caricaturists on the outside, each skirt sketching the face of each one.
And as well as being one of the longest-serving comedy minions for Sean McAuliffe, he's also an author of one of the funniest books to stuff your Christmas stocking. From the actor award-winning Mad as Hell, it's Tosh Greenslade.
Hello. Hi.
Hello, Tosh.
Congratulations, Tosh.
Yeah, well done, Tosh. Getting an actor, that's great.
Yeah,
thanks. I had a baby a month ago, but, you know, the actor's nice as well.
We don't care. Mate, we don't care.
You got an actor. That's right. Everyone's got babies.
Is your baby in the business? We don't care.
Not yet.
Is it time to exploit your baby to be in the business?
Let's hope so. Because my career certainly isn't doing much.
And you appear to be recording from inside a cupboard. Is that correct too?
Yeah, I'm inside of my wardrobe. This isn't good podcasting, but I had to put this shirt down off the hook just in case anybody saw, because I've got two of the same shirt.
If you're listening at home, Tosh's held up an identical shirt to the one he's wearing, and it's a surprisingly loud Nike sort of
tie-dye, looks like extravaganza.
Yeah, tie-dye, yeah. Tiger stripe.
You liked it so much you bought it twice. That's amazing.
No, I bought it too big. I bought it too big for the first time, and it was like, look, I'm fat.
That's like it was your pregnant body, and then you'll have one for afterwards when you snapped back to your post-baby body.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Tim Chuma on YouTube says, is that from the Shag Shop on Chapel Street? It's a very Melbourne reference. And you met him before. It's Lewis Hobber. Welcome, Lewis.
Hello. That's right. I forgot we were still doing introductions. Yeah hello. Nice to be with you. Sorry I couldn't be with you last week, but huge congratulations on being the officially funniest podcast in Australia, Dan.
Well, it is great to. It's all of us. It's all of us. It's everyone who contributes. So thank you. Coming up, we speak to two people who are bringing back a much-loved Aussie tradition, the cricket pitch invasion. We asked them if they did it nude and if they tampered their balls. But before we get there, here is a message from this week's sponsor.
Tweet denied? What do you mean I can't say that Joe Biden stole the election by using North Korean fishermen?
Sick of having your free speech trampled on?
Yeah.
Trying to be anti-Semitic, but the pro-Semitic semantics have got you down?
You said it.
Censored by the political correctness Nazis for being too much of an actual Nazi?
Exactly.
Well, it's time to drop the fact-checking fascists at Facebook and time to cut the truth-telling twats at Twitter. Introducing a place where you can say what you like, when you like, with people you like, with no fear of coming across as wrong or batshit crazy, because they're just like you. It's Parler, the social media network for right-wing nutjobs and conspiracy theorists. Parler, a place where no lives matter and masks will give you COVID-19 and Donald Trump Jr. is the second coming of Donald Trump.
The media runs right away. It's Russian disinformation.
Wow! Can I say the moon landing was fake?
Sure can.
The eagle has landed.
Can I say COVID-19 was started by Bill Gates so we'd all be forced to install Microsoft Excel in our brains?
If that's what you believe.
Can I say that f-wit on Tuesday did a f-wit thing and that's why I'm poor as shit?
Not on this podcast, but you can on Parler. If it's wrong, awful, and likely to start a race riot, you can say it on Parler. Parler, where every day is opposite day, and opposite day is not opposite day.
All right, let's get stuck into the fears. First fear, Foxtel is now a foreign broadcaster. According to Michael West, in June, News Corp sold Foxtel to another News Corp company, and then sold it to another News Corp company, and then sold it to another News Corp company, based somewhere in Delaware, USA. Foxtel is just like this tiny babushka doll in the middle of an American Fox Corp news empire. It's like all babushka dolls as well. It's now foreign, opaque, and spreads propaganda. What's interesting here is that a few months ago, the federal government handed $10 million, no strings attached, to Foxtel. I assume that was spent on moving fees. Do you know how much it costs to ship 36 years of Simpsons tapes to another country, let alone you know, a state that has no corporate tax? Fearmongers, should we be concerned that Foxtel is now an entirely foreign-owned entity? Lewis?
Oh, I mean, I cannot believe Foxtel still exists. It is It's truly staggering. I tried. I was one of the many people, I think, who you have flashes. I think during Game of Thrones, I was going through a particularly, I don't want to be a pirate, which I think is still true. And so I was like, you know what? Yeah, sure. I'll buy Foxtel, whatever. And then it was so expensive. I was buying a box set of Game of Thrones each week. And then I'm like, well, that's fine. I'll get the other things. And admittedly, there are like two or three good HBO shows. You get through those. You're like, what am I doing here? It's four times more expensive than anything else. You know where your money's going. It's going into like Foxtel and News Corp. It's heartbreaking. It is so – what does it offer currently? And it knows it too, which I guess is why it's just trying to like get as many freebies before it fucks off.
It totally. Now, Crikey has actually kind of done the numbers here. They reckon since 2017, Foxtel has received $67 million from the federal government. And considering that, you know, it was once a billion-dollar company that never paid tax, should we be asking more of Foxtel? Have they become our third public broadcaster, Kathy?
I can't even believe that they kind of weren't already foreign anyway, because they are effectively foreign, because Murdoch is foreign now, isn't he? Like he gave up being an Australian, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, and he registered to be in. He did registered as a citizen of Delaware. That's where he's technically a citizen.
In what way was Foxtel ever Australian? It would just import, you know, American right-wing politics and do it their way, and so they're just sort of getting it back. But they do seem to be able to pocket quite a lot of our cash on the way, especially as you say, all these handouts plus no taxes paid. So I mean, if they would go to America and then stay there and not come back here, that would be quite a good way of doing it.
Well, to be fair to Foxtel, I used to work about 8 or 9 years ago. I used to work in the Foxtel call center.
No.
I used to work in the retention department, and people would ring me up every day.
No way.
They would say, to me, Foxtel is too expensive. It's not very good. It's full of ads. Why am I paying so much for Foxtel? And I would say, would you want Foxtel if I could cut the price in half? And they would say, yes. And then if I could get a lot of people to do that, I would get a commission for that, which would be, it is sort of cap out at about $2,500 extra a week on top of my base wage.
Wow.
So you can't expect them to be spending that much money on people like me and discounts and also pay tax. It's not fair.
Tosh, how much, like comparatively, how much more did you earn as a Foxtel employee than you do working for Sean McAuliffe?
Oh, well, I work for the ABC, so we don't get paid in money. The dry biscuits that I get as payment, if I sort of converted them to dollars, Foxtel definitely wins.
I wonder if since Foxtel, when it was in Australia, screened predominantly American shows, now that it's in Delaware, maybe it will screen predominantly Australian shows. Like maybe Delaware will be sitting there going, why are you doing reruns of Neighbours? We have great Delaware programs right here.
Yeah, and then maybe Australian artists who need to make it in America can just make it in Foxtel and we can celebrate them like we did with Auntie Donna the other week, getting on Netflix.
Yeah, you're like, thanks to Foxtel, I made it big in LA. You made it big in LA. Yeah, Delaware. In Delaware. Irrational Fear.
This is Irrational Fear.
Let's move on to this week's second fear. Australia is at war with China over a meme on Twitter. When a low-ranking Chinese official tweeted a photoshopped image of an Australian soldier committing violence against an Afghan child, it caused the Australian government to respond very quickly by denouncing the image publicly on Scott Morrison's WeChat. Not since Greg Hunt launched an AFP investigation after his Twitter account liked a tweet by BBWCumPumper69 has the Australian government taken action from a tweet so quickly. Incidentally, the WeChat post from Scott Morrison's account in return was pulled off the social media app because it violated WeChat's terms of service. WeChat said the PM's post involved the use of words, pictures and videos that would incite, mislead and confuse the public. We commonly know this in Australia as a Scott Morrison press conference. fearmongers, is it time we bit the bullet and started a new division of the army solely focused on memes?
I like that in this situation, China is essentially the new Charlie Hebdo. It's like Australia are the bad guys in this situation. We're the ones that have done the war crime. It was a meme about war crimes. We've done the war crimes. Our report said that we did the war crimes, and then they published a meme about it and we asked for an apology.
I should think that hypocrisy is pretty strange. Kathy, you've got a different take on this?
Oh, well, look, there's quite a few elements of hypocrisy going on here. So for one thing, it was on a tweet. Chinese citizens don't get to tweet. They don't get to put anything, any old thing out. For another thing, it was supposedly a cartoon by a Chinese, you know, artist. Oh, in some of the coverage, that artist's, you know, strongly held feelings about Australia and our abominations in Afghanistan, are needing to have due consideration, and that's just his independent statement there that happened to be picked up by this. I love the way everybody says low-ranking official. That's going to be rubbing it into that low-ranking official how low-ranking he is. look, if that artist were wanting to say something about, let's say, Chinese treatment of Uyghurs in their camps, and or whether Tiananmen Square was covered up, or any number of other things, whatever was going on in Hong Kong. If that artist had wanted to do something about that from within China, there would not be a cartoon. There would not be an image to see, because that image would not be able to come out. So this image is only able to come out because it is a pro CCP line. That's the first thing, or the second thing, and then to compare it to Charlie Hebdo, as some people have been saying, oh, how hypocritical of Australia wanting to suppress that that cartoon when they would have been oh, Je suis Charlie and all the rest of it, and wanting to have the Charlie Hebdo cartoons free and published. I don't think there is any equivalence to saying we find this offensive. Like, okay, I disagree that calling for to have it taken down is useless, and that was there was no point in doing that on the part of Scott Morrison. But to say that you're offended by it is not the same as marching into the offices of a publication and gunning down the cartoonists. You know, it's just. Yes, it's perfectly all right to be offended by something. It's all right to say that you're offended by something. That doesn't stop the free speech, but there's no free speech in China anyway. So I just think that we kind of reflexively turn on ourselves and assume that any kind of thing we might say against another country and another regime is going to be that's going to be racist of us to say that. This is not about race. This is about a totalitarian regime that controls the message, that does not have free speech, and that is currently playing us and playing Scott Morrison like a bloody Stradivarius. And this was a total send out the hook, and unfortunately Morrison took the bait and was real right in. So anyway, I think that there's no argument to be had about free speech here, because there is not at all about free speech. And also, to the people who say, oh, we care more about being offended by a meme than we do about what happened in Afghanistan, sorry, but the last couple of weeks we've been talking about what happened in Afghanistan. That has got a lot of coverage. That's got an awful lot of cartoons done about it by myself, as well as many of my colleagues and many people in high places and journalists. We've been saying plenty about that, and it is coming out because there has been an inquiry in this, and there are going to be consequences, we hope.
But no one is saying that journalists haven't been saying enough. I think the galling part was the fact that this is all coming from Scott Morrison. I mean, I think the division of response from him was what people were saying was insane. You're like, this guy won't be strong against the armed forces because it's a political minefield. But he's very happy to defend a fairly minor tweet from an irrelevant person. It was pretty bizarre.
I think that it's that the diplomatic incident is stemming not from their human rights abuses, but from the fact that they made fun of our war crimes. That's where we draw the line. It's like, whoa, 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 stop. And I think it's interesting that it sort of seems to be coming after the trade sanctions have started to kick in. That's when we start to get shirty with them. Now that there's not a lot of money flowing into our country from them, we can start to go, whoa, whoa, what are you doing there? Stop that. You need to say sorry to us. Whereas if there were no trade sanctions, I feel like that tweet would have gone under the radar. That would have been I've had a private conversation with President Xi instead of you need to apologise publicly.
Well, I suppose the trade sanctions, as they've been, you know, progressively happening, and all the various other little sort of warnings about how they're unhappy about 14 things that we've done or something like that. But, you know, one after another trade sanction.
Kathy, I believe it's the essay is called 14 Things I Hate About You. That's what the Chinese.
Yes. Yeah. So, and that was as they were sort of becoming a little bit more desperate. And more desperate in trying to sort of sound like, oh, but we still want to be friends, you know. Oh, yes, they're unhappy about this. Oh, we don't want to read too much into the fact that they don't want our barley or they're you know, slapping a tariff on the wine and stuff. And it's true that this meme is the point at which everybody goes, oh, so that's what they feel about us. Okay. So it feels like we've finally understood that he's really not that into you, you know, after trying to see the nice side.
It's so funny how they just don't care as well. They don't really care about this beef because, you know, they're China. They're the biggest economy in the world.
They're the kid in primary school with the behavioural issues who would not take his tablet and he'd be a bit naughty and the teacher would be like, come up to the front of the class and say sorry. And instead he would just like whip his balls out and then climb up on the roof. They just do not give a shit because they could destroy the planet.
The days of Donald Trump are coming to an end.
Irrational fear.
A friend of mine who's very smart said you've probably been investigated more than anybody else. Makes you probably the cleanest person in this country.
In US elections news now, it's been a month since the US election. I don't know about you, but I am so thankful I no longer have to listen to US politics podcasts.
You know you don't have to, Dan.
I know. Well, I feel like I had to up until the election, but now I feel like I don't have to do that.
No one was there being like, guys, the election's going to be won or lost on Daniel Lynch.
Well, one person who did care was Donald Trump, and he still is. He still really hasn't let it go, Lewis. I don't know if you know about this about Donald. He is still fighting the system, claiming electoral fraud, and he's got his number one guy on the case, the high-flying lawyer slash penguin from the Batman franchise, Rudy Giuliani, and his team of hotshot lawyers have headed to the Michigan state legislature to argue the case for voter fraud. Now, I've got a couple of clips here. I want to play them for you. The first one can be a hang on a sec. For folks who haven't played this before, if you want me to stop the clip, I just say hang on a sec if you want to chime in. So this is one of Rudy Giuliani's hotshot lawyers, and maybe she could be, I don't know, a little bit drunk.
The poll book is completely off. Completely off.
Off that by 30,000?
I'd say that poll book is off by over 100,000. That poll book... Why don't you look at the registered voters on there? How many registered voters are on there? Do you even know the answer to that?
No, I guess I'm trying to get to the bottom
zero.
Of this here.
Zero. There's zero.
So my question then is if the...
Guess how many... Wait. What about the turnout rate? 120%?
Hang on there.
Yeah. Kathy.
So it's Giuliani who's actually going, now hang on there. What you, yeah. You think he's trying to reel her in? He's like leaning over to go, you're actually not coming across as sane.
Giuliani's pulling the move in the pub where you go, oh, come on, mate, come on. And you put your hand over, you put your hand on your friend's back just to be like, I'm here. You need to be grounded right now. You are very, very drunk.
Let Representative Johnson ask his private question.
So the poll book number, okay, there's two things that could happen here. Either the poll book number, if ballots were counted multiple times, there's two options. Option number one is that the poll book numbers are not going to match.
They don't.
The actual. Not by thousands and thousands of votes. That's not what we see right now.
Take a look again.
Option number two is that they essentially were filling in names of people who didn't vote.
Dead people too?
So is that?
Let's
I guess,
let
is that
Representative Johnson ask his question, and then when
I thought
he's
that
done,
was his answer. Okay.
Well, I guess that's my question is why we're not seeing the poll book off by 30,000 votes. That's not the case.
What did you guys do? Take it and do something crazy to it.
Hang on a sec. It's so hard to like get a sense of what just happened if you're just on an audio only medium. But imagine someone who is losing an argument but thinks they're winning, and they get this little position where their arms are crossed and their chin goes up, and then right after they finish their sentence, their eyebrows do a single pump. That's what just happened there. It was extraordinary to watch. When someone is so wrong that you don't know how to correct them, and it's a beautiful thing to behold.
And then when you can hear other people laughing in the background as well, going, this person has no clue what she's talking about, or she might be a few drinks in.
Rudy Giuliani just met her at a bar like an hour ago.
Yeah.
And she's like, let me go, Rudy. Yeah. Let me go. I got an idea.
Let's get her. Yeah. She knows this. She knows this
tuck
town.
Tuck your shirt in, Rudy. I'm going ahead.
Numbers are not off by 30,000 votes. So
I know what I saw.
That they're filling in.
I know what I saw, and I signed something saying that if I'm wrong, I can go to prison. Okay. Did you?
Okay, we're.
Hang on a sec. This is just Jersey Shore at this point. That's all. Like, this is just an MTV reality show. It seems like they've scripted it to be an MTV reality show. That's Real Housewives.
Real Lawyers of Trump, I would watch.
I would watch that until I died.
Well, this is exactly what we're watching. Right. So, anyway, so I've got a second clip. I'm going to play it for you in full. Now, it's important that you have your headphones on and you're listening very carefully to this well-considered argument from Rudy Giuliani.
The answer,
a point of order.
The answer that I gave you is they didn't bother to interview a single witness. Just like you, they don't want to know the truth. Well, you probably know the truth.
Did you guys hear
that?
I heard it.
Yes, I heard it.
Rudy Giuliani squeezes out a fart mid-sentence, and his other counsel looks at him like, did you just fart during a congressional hearing?
But then she smells it. At the end, she clearly smells it and goes, yep, you did.
I'm going to play. Okay, yeah.
And what's more, it was one of his more compelling arguments, wasn't it? Well put, Rudy.
I think in Michigan they should be wearing masks on their face and their ass as well. All right, let me play it. I'm going to play it again here because it's so good.
The answer.
Point of order.
The answer that I gave you is they didn't bother to interview a single witness. Just like you, they don't want to know the truth.
Isn't that great?
The smirk on his co-counsel's face when she just turns away going, oh man, that guy just farted right next to me.
Irrational fear.
And why should we not believe the reported attempts of you to try to seek a pardon from the president?
Well, I will ask that he be disciplined for that.
Joining us now are two blokes who are taking matters into their own hands when it comes to bringing back the great Aussie tradition that has been missing from our cricket games, the pitch invasion, except then rather than doing it nude for their mates, our next guest did it clothed in the name of keeping fossil fuels in the ground. Ben Burdett and Joshua Weinstock ran onto the field last weekend during the India versus Australia game, and they join us now on Irrational Fear. Welcome, Ben and Josh.
Hello.
Hi, guys. Hi, Dan. Thanks for having us on.
Oh, no, it's great. It's great. It's great to have you guys here. It's really great to have you guys here. So tell us, why didn't you do it nude?
Well, we got on there and we looked around and we thought, would we be more popular if we had done it nude? Like, we kind of thought, you know, maybe we would be serving the tradition. But basically, we had no interest in being charged with indecent conduct.
You can only get charged for one thing at a time. No, tell us why. You ran onto the field with a specific reason. Tell us why did you do that?
And so what happened last week is all of a sudden the State Bank of India reared its head again about and was making noises about maybe loaning the $1 billion that Adani's seeking to get the coal mine underway. And anyway, the planets all aligned and there was this cricket match and the call went out for a couple of... people silly enough to run out on the field to do this job.
And the so call? Who calls you? Who calls you?
A job. Wow. The job seeker is really not working out, is it? You're like, right. I'll take any gig I can get. What's it paying? It's a fine? I'll be fine to do it? Hell, I'll still take it.
Yeah, no, tell us about the fine. I mean, you do get fined for doing stuff like that, right? How much did you get fined and how did you pay it? How did you pay it?
We're not entirely sure yet. It's still in the post.
We will find out in court. We'll find that out in court.
I got told 5 G's. I'm not sure.
I got told a few hundred, which could be them trying different psychological tactics on us, or it could be them being confused. We'll find out in court.
I think it is about $5,000. Yeah. Have you got a plan in place to try and get that paid?
Yeah, well, we've got to go to court, so hopefully that will get diminished. Quite a long way, and then we'll see how that goes.
Invest in renewables; they'll have a good return, and that'll help pay off your fine.
Exactly. I mean, at the end of the day, the story went very well in India with 1.35 billion people watching the cricket, pretty much. So, as good as Irrational Fear is, it's a very successful podcast. Josh and I are arguably the most famous people here this week.
Well, I can tell you now by looking at the stream, we've got 12 people watching the stream right now. So, yes, slightly more, famous than people.
Speak to Stoffa Dani. They can help with your marketing.
Have you? Because I know some of the reception from maybe non-politically minded cricket enthusiasts was a lot more negative. Have you received a lot of that feedback personally?
No. I mean, in fact, like the reception we got on the day, for one, we got some Indian cricket supporters afterwards who came up to us like we were celebrities. They got plenty of selfies with us and our signs. On the pitch, like when we got out there, the crowd seemed kind of confused. They ended up booing because like a few, but for the first 30 seconds, we got some good applause. I don't know.
Actually,
I've watched cricket before and I would be thankful for the interruption.
Well, the funny thing is none of us really knew much about cricket. Like we sort of watched it a little bit, but fortunately Josh's dad briefed us not, whatever you do, don't stand on the pitch. So I followed that advice, and actually there was a comment made by a 2GB commentator that actually said, oh well, at least they didn't stand on the pitch. So I'll take that as a positive.
I've actually got one of the news stories up from YouTube, which one of the Indian news stories, and it's so funny, like listening and reading some of these comments from Indian people, and people in India are with you. It's quite surprising. Like Indians hate Adani as much as people in North Queensland do. It's pretty great. Like fully support your brother. Hope you drive this crooked businessman out of your country. We need such enthusiasms from Indians as well. Yeah. I'm Indian, but I suggest you guys don't let Adani enter Australia. Good citizens showing they're a responsibility for the future generation. If we send our political leaders there, they will divide Australia into religious grounds and weaken the real issue. These are seriously engaged Indians who also hate Adani. This is amazing.
We need to send you to Delaware with a Stop Foxtel t-shirt.
Oh, we'll do it. We'll do it. Yeah. Don't tempt us.
We do it for the t-shirts, really. That was kind of our objective, was just to highlight this with the Indian people, because the Indian people have a great history of social uprising, and led by Gandhi, of course. Now that they know about this, I don't think they'll be putting up with it.
I love this comment from Peter Lawler on our Twitter feed. He says it should only be $500 if you don't touch the pitch. I think that's good, as opposed to $5,000.
As long as you don't sandpaper the ball, you should be fine.
Yes.
This was part of a much larger action. There were other people at the grounds also protesting with you. There were people leading chants in Hindi out the front of the grounds. Did that kind of stuff get a good reaction from Indians and Australians walking into the ground?
We've been told it did. They had a big prop wicket up the back that people could throw a ball at with like Adani written all over it. And who doesn't like throwing a ball at a big prop? apparently, they got a lot of good responses from outside. A lot of people who had great fun there. And they actually, there was that. And then people turned up to the SBI offices earlier in the day. So it was a whole thing.
Oh, right. Excellent. Now, tell us the nitty gritty of deciding when to go out. How do you pick your moment to invade the pitch?
We wanted to do it in the first moments, or the first few overs, and the anxiety had been on since quarter to four in the morning for me. So just to get it out of the way was very good.
We had
a beer. That helped.
you had like a Dutch Courage. You had like a half strength SCG beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. We wouldn't want a full strength.
Yeah. We went up to the top to pretend we were going to the shop. We took our hamburger box props and we're standing there for a little bit. And then a lady was trying to move us on. And then there were some Indian cricket fans that saw our placards, which were actually fake ones covering up our real placards.
Let's go Aussie, let's go.
Yeah, and so we got selfies with those guys, and then all of a sudden, yeah, we're trying to concentrate on when there was a break in the overs, and that's when it was go time.
Trying to figure out where the cricket was at. Okay, so was that the fifth ball? Was that the sixth ball? What's going on?
Yeah, how do overs work again? Yeah.
How did it end? Did you get tackled? Did you discuss how far you would take it? Did you take a knee? Did you give up?
The short answer is it ended eventually. We were so prepared to kind of rip off our disguises and run out there before security tackled us down. It took such a long time for them to get out there. I was out there. I'd done my route. I was standing there with the sign over my head. It got to the point where I was thinking, are we just going to have to walk ourselves off? Are we just going to have to leave? Like, does anyone mind us being here?
I don't know if anyone saw the footage of this. I'll chuck it in the show notes. But the security guards were a little on the let's face it. We've all put on a few kilos during lockdown. And they just looked like they hadn't been a proper security guard for a long time.
Maybe they've just taken sort of a parenting a toddler approach to. Like streakers, where they're just like, look, if we chase them, they're going to keep running. If we just let them run, eventually they'll get tired.
We'll just walk out slowly and take them treats.
If we kept running, that could have taken forever.
Yeah, exactly.
And how did it feel when you hit the center of the ground? What did that feel like? Center of the SCG, knowing all the cameras are on you, knowing that you're beaming out to a billion people in India.
Yeah, the monkey was off our back. The main fear I had was just not pulling it off, so we were just pleased to be out there, really.
Yeah,
that was the main thing.
Like, that it just sounded like you were giving us a post-match speech.
Yeah,
real proud of the boys. Just happy to be out there. It was a streak too hard.
Credit to Matt Canavan, but I think we were the better man on the day.
Yeah, right. Taking it one protest at a time at this point. You know?
Yeah, all that.
But what you may not have picked up was Josh and I both copped the longest wedgies all the way back into the stadium,
goodness.
And into the into the cells in the stadium. And the stadium has cells, just for those who are interested. and Gladys, if you're listening, get some better decorators on the new ones, because it's a bit stark in there, just stainless benches and Besser block walls.
Ben and Josh, thank you so much for joining us on Irrational Fear.
Thanks, guys. And, follow Stop Adani.
Yeah, will do. Now, Tosh, you've written a book, The ScoMo Diaries.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that book.
So it's basically just a book of roasts, really. It's just me ripping on the government. But it's a comic retelling of Scott Morrison's first 18 months as Prime Minister, illustrated by Andrew Weldon. So he's done some amazing stuff in there. And it really is just me ripping the government and everybody in it for a solid 250 pages.
It's a really quite a good read. Though I did mention to you earlier, I found it quite depressing because I was just reliving that year and like reliving the year in news. But it's accurate to the date. How did you actually write it? Did you actually write a joke every day as something was happening in the news cycle?
No. So I just went back. Like, it's all just there on the news websites. It's all archived forever until the internet stops and electricity stops after the fall of man. But it was so easy to write because it was just you Googled the date and his name, or you Googled the date and Australian Parliament, and it just gave you the entire day's happenings, basically. And then I just made jokes about it.
The book is called The ScoMo Diaries. We've actually reached out to the PMO to see if Scott Morrison would read us out a chapter. He sent us a response, but he sent it on WeChat and it's been pulled down, so we can actually read it. So instead, Rupert Dagas, who does all of our reads for us, did us a version. Here we go. Have a listen to this.
9th of May, 2019. A little quote I read from Christina Keneally today. Peter Dutton has been let out of his cave. He's been kept underground somewhere by the Liberal National Party. Now, first of all, Peter doesn't live in a cave. He lives in a sort of nest made from rotting pieces of meat. These kinds of lies are typical of Labor. I do, however, quite like the idea of keeping Peter underground. I might look into the legality of it after the election, although we might need to be careful about how we do it, given the tendency of potatoes to multiply when buried.
Beautiful stuff, Tosh. The ScoMo Diaries is out now. Kathy?
I was wanting to know if Tosh is the author of the tweets of Scott Morrison.
No. I've had that account on mute since I started writing it because I didn't want any of that to sort of seep into my brain and accidentally rip it all off. So I don't know who that is, but they unfollowed me when I announced that I was writing the book, so I think they don't like me. But then I said that they unfollowed me and they refollowed me.
That is it for Irrational Fear. Big thanks to Ben and Josh, Kathy Wilcox, Tosh Greenslade and Lewis Hopper. Have you got anything to plug, Kathy?
Please don't buy any more of my tea towels. I had a whole bunch of orders in the last couple of weeks when I had a bit of publicity, and I'm just drowning under orders, and I'm not going to be able to get them all out by Christmas, and I don't know how to tell people that. So you know, if you've got any ideas about how to let customers down, let me know.
Don't worry, we'll clip this video out and we'll tweet it out, and then you can retweet it, and it'll be a nice passive aggressive way. Or you can just put it on WeChat.
Right. Yeah.
Definitely the most self-sabotaging plug we've had on the podcast ever. So whatever I'm doing, stay away from it.
The country. Yeah, yeah.
Don't give me your money. Just turn me off. Unfollow me.
Lewis, do you want to plug anything? Anything at all? It doesn't have to be anything you're involved with.
No, you can follow me on social media and send me messages that I may or may not respond to.
Ben and Josh, do you want to plug anything before you go?
Well, we were actually part of Extinction Rebellion as well, and we've got a Festival of Love and Rage coming up on the 19th of December, so check that out on Facebook.
Come to that, it'll be great fun.
Excellent. Big thank you to Roadmarks, the Bertha Foundation, Go Neutral, our Patreon supporters, David Bluestein, Killian David, Rupert Dagas, Jacob Round on the Teppanyaki Timeline. Our Discord server has been going off this week. Big thanks to the Peters, Phil, Ads, Covet, Kizza, and Maddie Palmer, and all of the contributions from the Discord team. Until next week, there's always something to be scared of. Good night.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.